Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I have a confession to make this morning. This is my first time that I've ever preached in chapel. Actually, I think this is probably the first time, even when I was a student, that I've actually even participated in chapel, so I was a little nervous. Actually, I was a little too nervous, because this morning at 4:30, I was still sitting on the couch with a blank manuscript. Now, it wasn't because I didn't do my homework, because I did. The guys who work with me, who are cheering me on there in the front row, know that I sat at my desk yesterday, writing and reading, but getting nowhere. Yes, I did do the appropriate steps. I translated my own translation from Greek. I looked up the appropriate cross-references. I found my text both in Piper, Volume 3, and in the Lutheran Confessions. I read exhaustive commentaries on the subject, but still, as I sat there waiting for the coffee to brew, I had nothing to say. Now, I've been a parish pastor for 11 years. I preached hundreds of sermons, and I thought to myself, how could I go dry now on the day that I was to preach in front of all of the students, in front of the professors, the people that I respect, care for, and love? Why didn't I have a message to bring to them? And as I sat there wondering what I was going to say, I realized what the problem was. The problem was not that I did not understand what our text for today, Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, was saying to the Romans in the time of Paul. The problem was I was afraid of what the text was saying to me. For when I began to read the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, I realized that he was speaking of sanctification, that he was speaking of the Christian life, of the transformed and renewed life of a Christian who gives themselves as a sacrifice in response to God, in response to the grace of Jesus Christ and what he has done. The text speaks of change. And to be honest, I was pretty happy with myself the way I was. You know, that old sinful man, that old sinful woman that lives inside of us, that old Tony that's in my heart, I've become accustomed to him. He's an age-old friend. We've had a lot of good times. But as I look at this text, I realize that being a Christian is more than holding on to the good times of my sinful past, holding on to a piece of my sinful self, pulling it out from time to time, allowing myself to be indulged in the lusts and the pleasures of this world, to place my life is clay in the hands of a potter God, takes faith. It takes faith that only God can give. And through Jesus Christ, in our text for today, we learn that God gives us that faith. But we also learn from our systematics classes that having that faith does not mean that the old sinful man within us is gone, but that from time to time he rears his evil and his ugly head. So I thought I would look at Paul again anew. And when I look back at Paul's writings, I realize that I was a little harsh on the apostle. For as he was speaking of his appeal to us, his heartfelt appeal to the brethren of the faith to present themselves, their whole lives, as living sacrifices, he wasn't doing it by beating me with the law. He wasn't attempting to set forth a new Jewish ethical code that I should follow as a Christian. By no means. The very words of his text speak words of mercy and of grace. I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present yourself to him. This is a transitional section in the book of Romans. It's the introduction to the second half. Many people believe that the second half of the book of Romans from chapter 12 on is the practical section, while verses chapters 1 through 11 is the doctrinal content. But in the last few verses, as I read the context for this passage, I could not help but see how firmly rooted in the grace of Jesus Christ Paul truly was. How much he knew that our life today and our life in the future, when Jesus comes again and we live with him forever, is rooted not in the things that we do, but instead in what he has done. That age-old Lutheran understanding of grace and the salvation it rings because of the sacrifice of Jesus is found in all of the previous 11 chapters leading up to our text for today. The Apostle Paul was showing me, showing you, who we are in Jesus Christ and who we are becoming in him. He's attempting to open our eyes. He's attempting to open our eyes to the new avenues that we have as Christians of offering ourselves as that spiritual sacrifice, that reasonable work. Not because we must, but because we can, because we desire to, because we have been inherently changed. The Apostle Paul was telling us that because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself unto death, that we have the privilege of sacrificing ourselves in life to him. Which one of us here could not use a spiritual makeover? If you're anything like me, that old sinful man lurks each and every day, those old inconsistencies. The sin in my flesh is far too apparent. And I think to myself, what will it be like when God has completed his work of recreation and transformation in our hearts and in our souls? What will we be like as we gather together with God in his heavenly place, as we live with him forever without sin and without pain? As he fulfills the promises that he has confirmed and sealed through the death and resurrection of his Son, I stand in awe. I stand in awe that he took the time to care. I stand in awe that he puts up with me in all that I do. I stand in awe that he simply didn't destroy this sinful world and start over again, but that he loved us so much, that he loved you, that he loved me to the point that he would be willing to give his Son as a sacrifice so that you might be renewed, so that your mind might be rewired, so that you might find in your mind more than facts that you learn in seminary, but that this renewed mind that was once held captive by the gods of this age, which once had a veil over it according to the word of God, that it has been released and transformed and renewed so that you can see the will of God. And through the eyes of faith, God's will looks nothing like the burdensome law, but it is truly a joy. Through the eyes of faith and through the transformation, the renewing of our mind, we discover that God's will is good, acceptable, perfect, beautiful. As I look at so much that God has done for me, what Jesus has done for all of us through his death and through his resurrection, when I compare it to those little petty things that I want to hold on to in this world, my old sinful being, all of those things that I've known before I knew Jesus Christ, in the end, they don't seem like much. Actually, they don't count for anything in comparison to the grace and the glory and the peace that Jesus offers through his sacrifice and through his blood. And in the end, the things that I was afraid to lose through the power and the working of Jesus Christ and the struggling of our sinful man and our new creation, we place before the Lord, acknowledging that the life that we live today is not our own, that the old Tony that I'm so fond of has been dead and buried in the waters of baptism, and that the new Tony that lives is not living to his own, but as a member and as a part of the body and the family of God. So, brothers and sisters, I appeal to you. I appeal to you by the mercies and the grace of God. to offer yourselves, the new life that you have been given as a living sacrifice that is holy and set apart for God, that is acceptable, that is our form of spiritual worship, and no longer be conformed to the pattern of the world. Why? Because you no longer fit. You have been remolded and changed. The clay of your Christian life has truly been reformed by the hands of our potter God. Sermons are not always easy to prepare, for sometimes we are called to proclaim the very thing that we ourselves are not ready to hear. But because of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, for the grace that he has given to all of us, which has been recounted through the previous 11 chapters of the book of Romans, we find that the grace of God is written not simply on the pages of Scripture, but that his grace can be found on every page of our transformed lives. In Jesus' name, amen.